Good morning. It is a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartalk. Alan, yesterday we talked about the president who was about to make an announcement about the conflict between the U.S. and Iran. You predicted that most likely his aides and defense secretary and others got to him and said, let's stand down. Trump says he is ready for peace with all who seek it. But the House is still set to vote on limits to President Trump's war powers. Your thoughts on how this is now shaken out so far?
Well, David, clearly the president, as I suggested yesterday, has stepped away and is afraid of not only having stepped away, but of being perceived as being weak. So he says, we want peace, we want peace. And by the way, here's a little slap for you, and we're going to increase the already tough sanctions that we have on Iran. Of course, the Iranians, for their part, know that the last thing they need is a war with the United States. The Iranians have behaved abysmally over the years, and there is no question about that. And now you've got a president who has decided not the Saudis, who also behave abysmally, and not the others. It will be Iran. Because, you know, there are some people in this world who always need an enemy. And I believe that's true with the president. I think that Trump is a guy who loves to make fun of people, who loves to create an image of them as bad people. And it's okay, but let's also remember that there are a lot of other bad actors in the world, and Trump is nowhere to be seen with guys like Duterte, you know, in the Philippines and others. So he will stay on this. He's been on it from the very beginning.
And what about this vote expected today to limit Trump's war-making powers?
Well, a couple of Republicans have said that they're for it, but for the most part, they are not. Whatever he says, scared to death of taking this guy on. And I believe it's going to cost them the Senate. Now, I think if it came down to the fact that several of them saw their potential elections in trouble as a result of their actions, I think that they might switch. And you only need a couple of votes in this particular case. So it may go, but I doubt it very much. I think in the end, their fear of Trump is so obsessive, they can't get off the dime and do what's right.
Speaking of doing what's right, impeachment turning into a test of wills for Democratic and Republican congressional leaders, Alan. 3 weeks after the House impeached Trump, Speaker Nancy Pelosi has yet to send the Senate the articles of impeachment. On Wednesday, Pelosi continued to demand more details on how the trial in the Republican-led Senate would be carried out. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell countered that there would be no haggling with the House over Senate procedures. He says he's got the votes to move on without them.
Well, he has the votes. Whether or not it creates a sort of constitutional crisis, I don't know. I mean, after all, Pelosi, and again the norm, again the history is, and there's not much of one, obviously this is the third impeachment that will get to the Senate. You know, I think what happens is that they have to really make an assessment here, the Republicans, whether they can bludgeon their way through it and say, well, they voted for impeachment. We're going to have a trial, even if they don't send it to us. We're going to just assume they've sent it to us, and we're going to do that. Now, McConnell says he has the votes to do it, and I have no doubt with this group of Republicans that he has that. But whether or not they're worried, the McConnell people, that this might create an impression of a kangaroo court is something that we have to think about.
Let's take a moment and think about Governor Andrew Cuomo's 10th State of the State address yesterday, Alan. And the governor focused on fighting hate crimes, a plan to legalize adult recreational use of marijuana, a $3 billion proposal to borrow to fund more environmental programs, ending the pink tax, helping gig economy workers, paid sick leave, expanding college tuition, and more. Your thoughts, Professor, on the speech?
It was a good speech. I mean, he gave a dynamic speech. The people in the audience applauded on cue, and it was reminiscent of an old FDR speech as he headed towards the White House. I think Andrew Cuomo may have made the assessment, uh-oh, we're not going to win this, and then I'm next up. I think that's very possible. You know, he's got an election in a couple of years, and we'll have to see who his lieutenant governor is going to be, because there may be an assessment that that lieutenant governor will become the governor. I do think that Andrew Cuomo, I've always said, is both competitive with his father and in love with his father. He loved his father. And he's now talking about running for a fourth term. That's something denied to Mario. And running for president would seem to me be on his bucket list based on Mario's inability to have achieved that office, too. So I think if you listened carefully to the speech yesterday, you heard a great deal. What you didn't hear is how he was going to solve the problem of the $6 billion deficit that they have. He mentions it, but he didn't tell you how he's going to change it and what he's going to do about it. Bail reform also didn't come up. This is a big problem. Bail is a divisor between the liberals and the moderates in the state Senate and in the assembly. People come up before a judge and they have done something like a woman slaps two women in the face, goes out and does it again under the new bail procedure, which is that unless it's a violent crime and there's no bail. You mean when you slap somebody in the face it isn't violent? Come on, that's ridiculous. On the other hand, a very good argument can be made that bail is for the rich. You know, they can afford it, whereas somebody who's poor can't. And obviously, the people who steal and do despicable things are quite frequently poor. So we have a huge incarceration rate in New York State and in the country. And this gets down to the wrong of letting somebody go who might go out and do it another time. And the idea that it's just not fair the way we work the system.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, David.